ring if you're ready to care. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We2Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slapping Me, yeah, Slapping Me.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, the one and only We2Deep. And I am here with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. It is Tuesday night as I am recording this, the first of the new era of this podcast, taking it back to how it started. We2Deep just on the mic ranting about wrestling. So the format of these shows is not going to change that often or that much, it's not going to change that much. The format of the show is Tuesday shows will be the more review based SmackDown, Raw type programming, right? Like it typically was. It's just going to be more of me sort of giving my full rants on the product. What I feel I do best. What the Friday episode will become is more of a, it's where the prediction shows will happen for the PLEs. It's where more of the just sort of newsy, ranty type stuff that I will cover. It's a little bit more free outside of reviews, but I want the Tuesday show to be more Raw SmackDown coverage. Friday's more so being a NXT type NXT Dynamite, any type of rant from what I've seen on the internet. If I have time to even look at the internet, I've been so busy here recently with just my normal job outside of podcasting to even pay attention to what's going on in the dirt sheets. It's not much, by the way. But so let's dive on in to the product. But before we get there, right? Before we get there, let's take care of some show business here, right? Let's take care of the business, the housekeeping, right? Are you guys ready to slap some meat and rep your favorite wrestling podcast in style? If so, head on over to slappingmeatwrestling.com right now to grab your exclusive merchandise from the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more, all designed for the true Slapping Meat Wrestling fan who knows what it means when big, meaty men bump meat. But we're not stopping there. You want to show love to your favorite superstars as well? Slide on over to the WWE shop and stock up on the latest official WWE gear. From Roman Reigns to Bianca Belair, NXT Raw to SmackDown, they've got everything that you need to rep your favorite superstars. That's WWEshop.com. And hey, are you ready to see the action live? Book your next wrestling getaway with Expedia. Flights, hotels, rental cars, all in a one-stop shop. Whether it's WrestleMania weekend or a random Friday night SmackDown, Expedia makes your travel easy. All of those links will be in the description of this episode, as well as the redesigned Real Wrestling Community Discord page, which that link will also be in the description. So there's three steps to be real, to be raw, and to be relevant in the Real Wrestling Community. Suit up with Slapping Meat Wrestling merchandise at slappingmeatwrestling.com. Rep your favorites at WWEshop.com and book the trip of a lifetime using our affiliate code through Expedia. Don't just watch wrestling. Live it. Now let's get at it, you meat slappers. All right. So it's a little corny. I'm sorry. We're going to start with SmackDown from last Friday, right? Now, I've said this numerous times. SmackDown has been very boring. Very boring in 2025. The build to WrestleMania was okay when we got something, right? But it was okay. Since WrestleMania, it's been absolutely unwatchable. I'm not going to lie and act like I went through this whole 3 hours. This show is boring. Some people agree with me that it's boring, but won't put it underneath Collision or Dynamite. It's definitely not under Collision. Collision is absolutely the biggest waste of television time, to the point that we'll and this is something we'll talk about at the end of the show. Collision is such a bore that even the executives of the network don't want it on TV. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I will put SmackDown at 3 hours. I'll put it underneath Dynamite. At least Dynamite has some excitement. It's not the best show. It's kind of boring, but it's got something going on. This SmackDown show, bruh, there's bits and pieces, but for a 3 hour show, most of which is covered by commercials, it's almost unwatchable. SmackDown at this point is almost unwatchable. But let's talk about this. This show opens up with Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and a man that we're just going to call JC for now, right? We didn't learn about the new identity at this point. We think this is still Jeff Cobb, right? I got 3 points from this segment alone. This was, I'm going to be honest, my favorite segment of the whole show. It started off pretty good. So the first thing I want to say is this. There's been so much hate over the last year or so on Solo Sikoa. That bro don't got it, that he's not charismatic, he can't promo, blah, 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 blah. No. We're giving Solo his props. Slapping Me Wrestling is a no Solo hatred facility. We will not disrespect Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa has charisma. He just wasn't in a position to be able to show it when he was Roman Reigns' enforcer. But when he's in a position to where he can show a little bit of his personality, bruh, dude's good. Solo Sikoa is good, man. I don't get the hate on Solo, man. I really don't. I don't get the hate. Solo Sikoa is a very good pro wrestler. He can go in the ring better than a lot of people give him flowers for. And he's really good on the mic. But then you have Jacob. Jacob Fatu is him. He is the next big thing on the SmackDown roster. The problem is that he can't shine too big, because he definitely deserves the spot. The SmackDown has this problem, and they've had this problem for a while. When I say a while, I mean about a year. There's a problem here where Cody Rhodes won the title, and when Roman held the title, you kind of understood no one was in that picture, but they were still doing feuds in the main event that didn't revolve around the title. For whatever reason, Cody Rhodes won the title and they stopped doing that. And now with John Cena being world undisputed champion, it's almost like the top of the card for the men's division on SmackDown has nothing to really do if you're not in a feud with John Cena, which just so happens to be R-Truth right now. And so guys like Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre and Jacob Fatu, who shouldn't be battling for mid-card titles, they are well ascended above LA Knight even, right? So practically your whole mid-card division right now, minus Shinsuke, minus Carmelo Hayes, stuff like, right? LA Knight, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, Jacob Fatu, that whole Fatal 4-Way we just had, all of them should be battling in feuds that are for the world title. But because the world title's on John Cena, in this clusterfuck of a story, they got to get, you know, they're putting stories that don't really have any purpose. And I know where this is headed, right? Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, SummerSlam, perfect match. I'm not going to complain about it. I've been calling this for a while now. I'm fine with it. Jacob is him. Jacob Fatu is probably the best thing on SmackDown. But then you get old JC over here. Jeff Cobb, now going by JC Mateo. Now, his match was okay. But what I want to talk about is the name. I want to talk about the name. Because I've seen so many people complain and complain about this name. And I want to tell you right now, I believe JC Mateo is a better name for this character than Jeff Cobb. And that singular reason, there's really only one reason that matters, is that this isn't Jeff Cobb New Japan, right? First off, Jeff Cobb as a name for a Samoan dynasty, that Jeff Cobb is the most biggest like white person name that I can imagine, right? It wouldn't fit the character the same way JC Mateo fits. But also, renaming him JC Mateo allows you to do the same thing that you did with Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, even though they went by those names in New Japan. They weren't new name, or they were newer names to a WWE audience, right? It's sort of the same thing you do with like an LA Knight, right? Where LA Knight goes by Eli Drake his entire indie run, and then you make him LA Knight, and now you could sort of repackage him in your image, right? If he comes in as Jeff Cobb, you have to teach all the fans who don't know about him, because he's not as mainstream as a like a Will Ospreay or a Kenny Omega, where I feel like there is a mainstream appeal to them. Jeff Cobb doesn't have that same appeal. In terms of like mainstream, like, I'm not saying they're over in the mainstream. I'm saying like in terms of like, if I were to ask, you know, a casual wrestling fan who I know likes wrestling, watches AEW, watches WWE, they have a little bit of knowledge of the business, right? But they don't watch the New Japan product. If I were to ask them if they knew Will Ospreay, most of them would probably, I mean, obviously he's on AEW show, but if I would have asked them if they knew Jeff Cobb or who he was, right? There's a lot of people who don't know Jeff Cobb. And so by giving him the name JC Mateo, you are allowed to shape him in your own image without, where you could still play with his wrestling background, but you don't have to give the full story because you can create his background story. I think that's a beautiful place to be with this character. You can basically shape it in your own image of what you want it to be, right? So this opening segment was fantastic for SmackDown, right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I fell asleep somewhere at the end of this shit. And I woke up at like 1 in the morning, and my TV was playing. I don't know what the fuck it was. I turned it off, went back to sleep. So I got some opinions, though, on what I think needs to change, right? So the first thing is we got to do something with this tag team division on SmackDown and Raw. Here would be my solution. If you count the amount of teams we have in the division as a whole between both brands, you have Fraxium, you have The New Day, Kofi and Xavier, you have Eric and Ivar, you have the Motor City Machine Guns, you have the Profits, Pretty Deadly, the Garzas, the Creeds, American Alpha, DIY. There's like 10 teams combined, right? So here's the problem with that. You have a really talented, deep pool of talent. You don't have any storyline. There's not enough television time for two tag team divisions. So here's what I feel we need to do, right? Here's what I feel we need to do. We need to create just one singular tag team title that fights between both brands. Because at that point, now you can have a division that has some depth and some storyline, right? That has to be what happens. Because you're about to get the Lucha Bros. 100% feel like that's about to happen. So if you have a 10-11 team division, you could build a division off of that and give enough TV time throughout the week for one division. You're not really doing it for two. I'm just not feel like your Raw tag division seems to be getting the short end of the stick. And so I feel like if you strip the Raw tag champions, whatever they're called, I just call them the Raw tag champions. If you remove that belt, you make one division and you run, because the problem isn't talent. The problem isn't talent. What do I always say? 90% of wrestling is booking. It's just bad booking. Either Triple H doesn't see the tag team division as worth giving more television time, or they just don't have anything creatively to do in the tag team division. And they think that they could just put on wrestling matches, and that for some that might please them. But for me and people like me who are storyline driven when they watch wrestling, it's just not interesting enough to watch the tag team division. The second thing I have a problem with is the fact that Chelsea Green is completely being wasted right now. I am so tired of seeing Chelsea Green. There's an argument that I had. We had this little thing, the conversation in the Discord, the Real Wrestling Community Discord, link in the description, by the way. We had this conversation talking about Rhea Ripley, and it sort of went along the lines of what my rant was on Friday about Rhea Ripley. I feel is just too deeply involved in everything on Monday Night Raw. And I use the example of, like, Rhea Ripley could take a step back and do what Drew McIntyre does and do blood feuds. And there was a genuine opinion that I understand, completely agree with, in that it appears that Rhea Ripley doesn't have as much talent, that the women's talent pool is not deep enough to have Rhea Ripley run blood feuds. That, right? And on the surface, I would agree. That's how they want you to feel about the division. But let's just be completely honest. That's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. Chelsea Green, I almost feel like the women's mid-card division also is falling in the same lines of the men's tag division. Of there's just not enough time or effort given to this division, both divisions, to make it matter, right? But someone like Chelsea Green should not be battling for the U.S. title anymore, right? She should long be out of this picture. She should be fighting someone like Tiffany Stratton for the world title. Chelsea Green is more than a comedy gimmick. Chelsea Green she can bump, she can wrestle with the best of them. And the reason why I'm not the biggest Chelsea Green fan, the way she's currently being booked, is because it is a comedy gimmick. And where there's a place in wrestling for comedy, but I know how good Chelsea Green is, and I really just wish that they would elevate her to that level that I know she can do, which is she could go in the ring. She could tell stories. I think you can have a balance of both and push, right? In the same way that people get tired that Charlotte always comes back and gets a title run. That is where I'm feeling with Rhea Ripley. And I'm not going to buy that there's not enough talent on, because first off, you just released 90% of your mid-card to where you could have put some of the wrestlers running the mid-card into the world title picture. So I don't want to hear that argument. But second, you have women on the NXT roster right now. Right, NXT used to be really, really fun to watch because you knew every 7 to 8 months you were getting a whole new set of talent, probably on your show. Right, there used to be a time where, like, you had someone debut, they came into the mid card, did a mid-card run, ascended to the main event of the show. Got, you know, they didn't necessarily need to be NXT or women's or NXT champion. Someone like Alexa Bliss is an example of someone who didn't need an NXT championship to get over, right? But you would run through the mid-card, you would get your main event run, then you would get caught up. And NXT, has there's sort of been a halt on that process where you get people like JC Jane who and Tatum Paxley, all love to both of them, who have been there for almost 5 years in NXT with no call-up. Tatum Paxley, JC Jane could come up and immediately run your mid-card division on the main roster and be a part of that, right? I'm almost at the point where I feel like Lyra has ascended the mid-card. I'm going to be completely honest with you. So, like, imagine some other people in NXT that need to be called up. Sol Ruka. So imagine Sol Ruka as Women's North American Champion showing up and battling in these Money in the Bank qualifiers, taking the place of Rhea Ripley, who doesn't need to be in one of these qualifiers, which is something we'll talk about when we talk about Raw. But imagine like a Sol Ruka doing that. You could then add to the tension between her and Zarya, because Zarya gets frustrated because maybe Sol misses an NXT when she's supposed to be in Zarya's corner. There's storyline you can tell there. But also, like, imagine if, like, instead of putting Rhea in the ring with Zoe Stark and Kairi Sane, you did a Sol Ruka in there. And you use it as a way to sell the fact that you have a NXT PLE this weekend going up against your competition in AEW. That, you know, just one of your champions. She's not on the card, but you still get the idea, right? I don't understand why you don't promote NXT, especially this event that you completely on purpose put this event on this date, because it's never been this weekend. Ever that you, but you did a super weekend on purpose, but you don't promote any of your shows during this super weekend. And you especially don't promote the show that is going up against your competitor, right? So imagine like the women's division where the main event scene outside of the champions and EO, but imagine like Raw having EO and Liv and Rhea and Lyra and Becky, right, running your main event scene with like a Sol Ruka on the outside. You have like a Stephanie Vaquer, who I anticipate could possibly lose her title this weekend and be on her way up to the main roster. I'm gonna be honest with you, and this is gonna be a conversation for Friday, but I'm gonna start it tonight. If they lose Stephanie Vaquer, NXT is not as entertaining as it used to be. And I mentioned this on Friday. It sort of feels like it's missing its upper card. Like its main event scene just feels weak right now. And there's not enough in the mid card to keep me interested. I'll be honest with you. Outside of the Tony D Stax Lorenzo story, which is about to end, I feel. Like there's not a lot outside of Stephanie Vaquer and the women's division that keeps me interested in NXT any longer. Obafemi's great, but Obafemi's been rushed through all of his upper card talent, Javon Evans, Ethan Page, Trick Williams, that the run sort of, I mean, you got Miles Bourne. No disrespect to Miles Bourne. I love Miles Bourne. I think he's a great competitor. Right? I don't necessarily think that this is the level of, I mean, there's a story there with him and Charlie Dempsey that I enjoy. But as for Oba sort of gets a little bit lacking feud here, where he's just having matches and not really in a feud, right? And I think that hurts Oba ultimately. And so if you lose Stephanie Vaquer in this women's division, you lose one of the main reasons I watched the show. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I love NXT, which it's hard for me to see the state that it's in right now because I've praised Shawn Michaels for the longest time, but it just feels like it's in a cycle right now where it's just not what it should be. But yeah, Chelsea Green's being wasted right now, 100%. There's no reason she needs to be battling Zelina Vega when she could be in the main event scene battling Tiffany Stratton, right? This would be a perfect time to move her there because you got the Nia Jax feud over with, right? Imagine the SmackDown scene, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, yeah, Charlotte Flair on the fringes, earning her way back. Chelsea Green, imagine like a Sol Ruka and a Jada Parker over there, or a JC Jane running against Zelina Vega, a Lola Vice going against Zelina Vega. I don't see why you can't take some of these NXT girls and run them on Tuesdays and on a Friday or a Monday in the mid-card to try to get their name out in the world. Like that's what I'm talking about. Like you could utilize your deep women's roster in the mid-card, even with the NXT girls, right? Julia on SmackDown is awesome. Julia is going to be a breath of fresh air, a shot of adrenaline in a women's division on SmackDown that is really lacking at the top of the card. A Julia-Tiffany Stratton feud is going to cook. As much as I'm backing off of, I'm not necessarily hating on Tiffany, but I'm going to back off the praise that I was giving her. I'm not exactly sold on her all the way yet as main event champion. I just don't think they have her in the right role. And so we'll see where it goes. Having her be a babyface against Julia is going to be really hard to watch because she does so much better as the heel, sort of spoiled brat type champion, right? My next comment on SmackDown is, and this is a genuine question, am I the only one watching this program on a week-to-week basis that does not give two cares in the world that Aleister Black, and to really extend this to Rusev as well, that they're back, it doesn't really matter to me. Aleister Black's out here giving black masses every week, doesn't really make any importance to the show. Rusev has some type of story going on, which is fine. I like what they're doing. I get what they're doing. It's basic storytelling. I understand it. But I don't care. I literally just don't care that they're back. Am I the only one? Let me know in the comments. And then my last thought was that I did go back and watch the main event because I did hear it was pretty good. And I will say it. It's a really good match. The problem is the rest of the card in between it. And I know I missed a lot of the show in between it. But I just put my comments that I wanted to put on the show, right? So let's go over to Monday Night Raw. We start with a Logan Paul promo that gets interrupted by Gunther. And I just got to say this right now. Gunther on the mic is killing it right now. Gunther might be the top guy in the company right now. There's been so much hate on Gunther. He's just not, you know, he's not my take. He's not my type. He's little, you know, there was so much hate over the summer. And from a people who don't truly understand Gunther, right? And I was sort of being drawn into that crowd and hating on Gunther. And Gunther had to turn around and say, bro, what the hell are you doing? Leaving my side. You're in the right side of history here, right? Gunther is the top dog in wrestling right now. He's the best in the ring. I've been telling y'all for forever what Gunther's gimmick is. Right, Gunther's whole gimmick is he's the guy who respects the ring, the mat. The mat is sacred, right? And so his entire promo here is, hey, Logan, they don't respect you enough because you're pretty good in this ring. I respect you, and I want the same respect back from you, right? And here's how you can respect me, Logan. Lose the match, because if you beat Jey Uso, that's disrespectful because I want my revenge on Jey Uso, right? Now, they're making Gunther look kind of stupid here, right? You start a feud with Pat McAfee, and then we sort of just blow it off after the match. We don't ever mention that Michael Cole tried to cheat during that match. We sort of just kind of forget that it happens. Gunther's just going to sit and wait till June the 9th for a rematch for the title against whoever it is that's going to show up there, and right? We then transition to JD McDonagh and Finn Balor versus Penta and AJ Styles. What a match this was, dog. And this Greenville, South Carolina crowd brought it, baby. They brought it. And this was a really good match. this was a fun match to watch. There's some story there. We got down a Grande Americano finish again. Now, this might be a hot take. a little bit over Grande Americano. It started off fun. I get the gimmick. But there's only so many times you can rinse, recycle, and repeat this same type of interference, teasing the mask coming off of Grande Americano to unmask and reveal that it is Chad Gable. There's only so many times that you can sort of drag that out and tease that and have him interfere, wash, rinse, recycle, repeat before it gets a little bit monotonous. And that's the level it's at right now. Is it's sort of hit a monotony where, like, we know where it's going, not necessarily caring about it. Chad Gable, and I get it. We could play along. We could play along with Michael Cole and all of that and act like it's not Chad Gable, but it's Chad Gable. And I don't know how many more times I can sort of pretend that it's not Chad Gable, right? And while we're on the topic of Chad Gable, bro, this man's career 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? It may have even been a year ago at this time. Yeah, I think it was about this time last year. This man was on the run of his life, about to win the Intercontinental Championship before being fucking bludgeoned to death by the Wyatt Six, a returning Wyatt Six that murked him in the fucking locker room, which we still don't have answers for. And by the way, in hindsight, who was right on that? Oh, was we too deep? I think it was, just a little bit. But how could we too deep have known? How could we too deep know that the Wyatt Six wasn't going to work? Could it have been the eight times before that a Wyatt gimmick failed? Oh, boy. It's like history repeats itself. Because no matter how much the Attitude Era nostalgia marks want to try to get spooky over, spooky's not going to get over in this generation. In a generation based on realism and kayfabe being dead and social media interaction, spooky's not going to get over. It's just not going to get over. Mysterious sort of Undertaker type gimmicks aren't going to get over in this generation at all. I just don't, it's just not going to work, right? There's too much to expose the business to get it to work. Then it only comes to hurt you that's already a negative against trying to run the gimmick. And then when you don't even tell a story or give us any information, it's not necessarily that we're impatient. I don't think it was impatience. It was more so like a lot of people are just tired of wasted airspace. And anytime the Wyatt Six are on TV, it's wasted airspace because there's never any answers. But ever since getting murked by the Wyatt Six, Chad Gable, which was at the high of high in his career, about to be IC champion, in a feud of what could have been the feud of the year against Otis, which could have got Otis over. And then because you murk Chad Gable, you ruin Alpha Academy. And so now Otis is getting squashed by Rusev. Tozawa fights Rusev on a random Monday Night Raw. And you squash the greatest feud of all time for nothing, right? And so that's crazy. That's a crazy thing for me, right? But anyway, J.D. Finn versus Penta Style, fantastic match. We had some Money in the Bank qualifiers. Roxanne fights Natalya and Becky Lynch. Shout out to Kara for calling this out in the Discord before it happened, where she called that Lyra was going to get involved and distract Becky, which is going to lead Roxanne to pin Natalya. It's exactly what happened. Kara called it. I seconded. It's not that hard to predict. It's kind of easy. Again, being predictable is not bad. It means you're kind of doing a decent job of people understanding what's going. Roxanne Perez in the Money in the Bank, more than likely going to be your winner, joining Alexa Bliss, and then also being added is Rhea Ripley after Zoe Stark, and we'll talk about her injury here in a minute. Zoe Stark was in the match. Kairi Sane's returning, but they don't really know how to do returns anymore, and I am going to talk about this. Rhea Ripley ends up winning this match. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Kairi Sane returns, but they announced the return at like 3 p.m. On Twitter. And I just don't quite understand why you couldn't just let it be a surprise return. Now, with that being said, Kairi Sane doesn't get a pop to begin with. People knew she was going to be there. Still no pop. People don't care about Kairi Sane. I'm pretty certain if I was in TKO and I see this Kairi Sane return, I see her, you know, come in. You can sort of tell how they feel about her, that she didn't win her debut match or her return match. And so it would not surprise me if Kairi Sane is All Elite in the next year or so. I don't think she fits in WWE, especially with Io where she's at on the card. It kind of upsets me a little bit that you release Dakota Kai, with the sort of the reasoning being she's by herself. If you were going to bring back Kairi Sane, you couldn't have held on to Dakota Kai a little bit longer, redone damage control, had a breakup angle at some point. I'm assuming Asuka's coming back eventually. The Kabuki Warriors will probably get some sort of return run, probably beat Liv and Raquel for the titles is where I'm headed with it. I just don't. Kairi Sane just doesn't do it for me. Like, I'm starting to grow on Io a little bit. Julia, as far as the Japanese women go, Julia's my favorite. Io's next. Asuka's okay. I'm not the biggest fan, but I'm not also going to hate. I think Asuka's serviceable. Kairi just doesn't do it for me. I don't know if it's the pirate gimmick, if it's just that she doesn't feel realistic in the ring. And this isn't a size thing. It's just she feels like she's cosplaying, and it doesn't feel like she belongs. And I'm not trying to down her accomplishments or down her ability. To me, it's just not working. But the biggest thing that happened in this match is Zoe Stark completely shattered her knee. Now, I don't know the diagnosis. I haven't followed up with it to know the diagnosis. But I saw the still shot of the frame, and her knee was pointed in the wrong direction. Did you not hear the screams? Zoe Stark will be out for a long time. From my understanding, this is the same knee she already had surgically repaired from an ACL injury. I believe her other knee has been hurt as well. She has a history of injuries. It would not surprise me. Now, they're not going to fire her while she's hurt. So this time next year, though, when spring cleaning comes around, it would not surprise me if Zoe Stark is on the list. It would not surprise me at all. But let's talk about the injury in and of itself. I don't necessarily want to put blame on anyone because I don't know. I don't know what was happening. What I will tell you is this, is that Kairi Sane was on the complete other side of the ring, completely out of place, apparently. So the question that I have is, it's twofold. Kairi Sane, why are you out of place? Did you not go over the move? Why are you out of place? Did you forget the spot? The second thing that I have is going to be towards Zoe Stark. Why, if you know Kyrie's out of place, why are you doing the move? And so I think there needs to be a little bit more on-the-fly ability here. And what's crazy is I was just starting to praise Zoe a little bit. I think Zoe has a little bit of talent. I kind of cursed her, I guess. You never want to see anyone get hurt, right? But this is one of the things where, like, this is why I talk so much about you don't have to try to do these spots every single time, right? Dominic Mysterio, I talked about last week, where he said, you know, if I do a moonsault every week, they expect a moonsault every week. I think we've gotten to a point in women's wrestling as well where these women have to try to one-up each other, and you get to a place where Zoe Stark's going to have to do this missile drop kick off the rope every week. And one of those days, and we just found the day, it's going to go wrong, and it's going to be catastrophic, and it may have, and I'm not meaning this negatively, but I'm being realistic. This may have just cost her WWE career. I hope it doesn't, right? I hope I'm not being an oracle here and predicting this, but I'm being genuine. Zoe Stark may be done in the WWE, and this is going to be the last remembrance that we have of her, right? Now, they may give her a return match, and then she'll lose, and then she'll get cut or something. But this might be the last major moment we have of her, right? And I predicted her to win the match because I think she could have been a good, what I called a spot monkey, or like the person who does like the ladder spot like Josie Green did last year. I think she's built for that. Now, obviously, she's not going to be in there. We got Rhea and we got Roxanne. Roxanne is also part of now the Judgment Day story, it appears. Not the best place I would put Roxanne Perez. I just don't personally care for her to be in this story. I think she should be battling Io Sky for the World Championship. Apparently, we're probably going to get a Liv Morgan Roxanne Perez feud. I wonder if Roxanne's going to get a championship opportunity, find a partner, and who that will be. Maybe Finn Balor will help her find a partner. I just don't quite understand what we're doing here. She gets some gifts. She gets some chicken nuggets to Dominic. And there's a phrase, you're going to lose them by the way you win them. Liv Morgan, watch out. Dominic may be stolen because he got chicken nuggets. And I know people are like, oh, but he's a chicken tendy guy. Guys, chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, I know they're different, and I know you guys are going to be like, oh, they're different. But, dog, if I get chicken in any form, I'm happy. Now, the only problem is you gave them bone-ass dry chicken nuggets with no dipping sauce. So here's going to be the question of the week. If y'all want to leave a comment in the YouTube, if you're watching on Spotify, I think you can leave a comment as well, or listening on Spotify. What's your favorite dipping sauce? That's going to be the question of the week. If you got were gifted chicken nuggets from Roxanne Perez, what's your favorite dipping sauce? You know, if I had to answer, barbecue. I think barbecue's a good, a good safe pick, especially if it's McDonald's barbecue. That shit banging. But good barbecue sauce. What I do know is that I don't use ketchup on chicken nuggets. That's basic. We don't do basic around here. I know people who do ranch. I'm not a big ranch person on my chicken. I'm not going to say you weird. I know there's some people who think that's nasty. Now, if you do like a blue cheese, you're gross. Absolutely get the fuck out of here. But, you know, I'm thinking like a hot honey. A honey mustard, a hot honey mustard is really good as well, right? But I'm gonna go with a barbecue. Now, I'm in North Carolina. Our barbecue sauce for our barbecue, our pulled pork, we use vinegar base for the good North Carolinians. We got some weirdos out here that use tomato based in their pulled pork sandwich barbecue type stuff, right? With chicken nuggets, though, we can use the tomato base. That's what it's for, right? Pork goes better with vinegar, right? There's a reason, you know, North Carolina is known for pork barbecue, and we use vinegar sauce because apple cider vinegar is typically the vinegar of choice that gets put into the barbecue sauces, and apples go best with pork, right? That's not like a – there's a legitimate reason. There's a science behind it. But we'll end there. What's your favorite dipping sauce for your chicken nuggets? Carlito gets gifted some apples. Raquel doesn't feel too thrilled about it. Raquel's a little bitchy, it feels, in this group. I don't know what Carlito did to her. Did he max out the credit card? Raquel, what's going on, baby girl? It appears we're going to get a Theory Waller breakup at some point. We've only been teasing it for 3.5 years. At some point, we're finally going to pull the trigger. This was a question B-Master asked. What's up with these, you know, groups teasing breakups? Are we ever going to pull triggers? I don't fucking know. I would suggest writing a fan letter to Stamfield, Connecticut. I don't actually know if that's where headquarters is anymore. I think they're in New York. But, you know, find the address to the HQ and send Papa H a letter. By the way, while we're talking about fan mail, that's the address you're supposed to send the fan mail to your favorite wrestlers to, not their actual houses, you fucking weirdos. There's my public service announcement for the week. I know, you know, I talked about this Friday about the Otis snack cake thing, and I know it's come out that it's fake. I don't necessarily think that should matter. It made news, major dirt sheets and podcasts talked about the story. I think WWE should have run just a little, you know, if we're going to do comedy on the show, this would have been a great segment to do where Otis is in catering and trying to get snack cakes and they're charging him for it and he goes crazy and he like flips a table or something, right? I think you could have done something funny with the snack cake segment here with Otis. And then we end the show. I'm not going to talk about the main event. It was Jey Uso, Bron Breakker, non-title. I don't really necessarily care. We knew it was going to end in DQ. The match was okay. We get a beatdown, and then CM Punk's music plays, right? Now, first off, CM Punk is in the building. He's there the whole show. You use him for 4 minutes at the end of the show. I don't know who made that booking decision, but it's stupid. CM Punk should have been used somewhere else in the show. Right, but he's there for the last 4 minutes of the show. His music pops. He's probably the biggest pop of the night. And I wrote down in my notes here, CM Punk won. He won at life. Right. He got to make his name, make a couple mil from a money mark named Tony. He gets himself released based on some other money marks known as the Elite. He gets released. He gets to come over to WWE. He runs his price up. He gets paid again by WWE. And now he's the biggest pop every show he's on in WWE. He's the most over superstar on the roster. Find me another superstar that's consistently as getting the pop CM Punk does. Right? And Jey Uso doesn't count. Because Jey Uso uses manipulation. He gets the fun little yeet shit. CM Punk doesn't have that manipulation. Right? CM Punk won. Tony, if we want to talk about Tony fumbled the bag with this man, CM Punk. How do you have this guy, right? And if you look at the ratings of Collision, they were around 500,000 to 600,000 when CM Punk was on the show. They're barely doing, I mean, they literally got pulled off of the network last week. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And my last comment of the wrestling for the week is as follows. Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross, as far as I am updated on the information, is in the top five selling in merch. And for the second week in a row, Karrion Kross is not on Monday Night Raw. Karrion Kross was on Main Event last week, where he got a bigger pop than anyone that would have been on Monday Night Raw that week. I don't understand this. Karrion Kross is a top five pop right now when his music hits. But you know who did get TV time? And not just one segment, but two segments? Tyrese fucking Halliburton. I don't know a single person who's watching this fucking show that gives two absolute flying fucks about Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know a single person who likes wrestling who gives a fuck. Now, I know the casual fans care about it. I know the casual side of the wrestling fan base will be like, oh, this is, you got to stay relevant. Now, the fuck you don't. No one gives a shit. And the people who buy the video games, they don't want to play as Tyrese fucking Halliburton. We don't. You could have put literally any wrestler on the roster that's not in the game in his place, and we would have cared more. No one cares. No one cares about Tyrese Halliburton that's a wrestling fan. I get you want to be relevant in the world of sports. But at some point, you have to recognize you gave more TV time to an NBA basketball player who you don't pay, except for the royalties for him being in the fucking game now. He's not on your roster. He's not going to draw a single other eye to the product. Because I don't know if you know this or not, the playoffs are on TNT. They're not on USA. They're not on Netflix. Raw's not, they're not going to promote Raw during this game. They're not going to promote SmackDown. In fact, there will be more commercials for AEW during the NBA playoffs to be watched than anything WWE does. Why are we promoting NBA right now? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Why is Tyrese Halliburton on my screen doing an at-home interview about the Eastern Conference Finals? I like sports. I don't care about them having sports stars on the show and guest spots. I don't. But when you're wasting time and you're, I mean, this was like 10, 15 minutes of the show that Tyrese Halliburton gets on screen that someone like a Karrion Kross could have had. Where Lyra Valkyria could have had, where you could have done a open challenge with Lyra Valkyria, or Karrion Kross calling out someone to get him a win. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Some other wrestling topics. I've mentioned this a few times. AEW Collision on Saturday was pulled off. The feed was pulled. The reason given was technical difficulties. Here's my question with it. How do you have technical difficulties on a taped television show? This week's episode was taped. Here's what I think happened. 100%. Here's what I think happened. I could be wrong. I don't have sources. This is just a completely made up in my mind about what I think happened. I could be 100% wrong. That's my disclaimer. I think Warner Brothers realized how bad this show was and recognized how bad the ratings were. Because here's the thing. You don't take off AEW with bad ratings and put on Black Adam, which flopped in the box office. Not a good movie. And put that on. But that dominated the ratings that Collision was giving them at the time. It could be technical difficulties. I don't quite understand how you have technical difficulties on a pre-taped show. I just don't understand. And a couple more things. LFG season one is over. Tyra Mae Steele, I think is her name, and Jasper Troy are your winners. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't actually give two fucks. I watched two episodes of the show and realized it wasn't for me. Here's why. It's a reality show. I don't quite care about WWE reality shows. A lot of it was pre-scripted. The whole BJ Ray shit was scripted as fuck. I just don't give a fuck. I don't want to watch another show where it's just wrestling, no stories. It doesn't appeal to me. It's been, I guess, you know, like three more seasons have been greenlit of the show. So good for you. If you like it, hope you enjoy it. Let's see. And then the final topic that I have here before we get to the questions from Discord will be, I was scrolling through my episodes the other day and I found one, I think it was episode 12, where I gave my top five women and top five men and current, you know, at that time. And that was September of 2022. So we're about 3 years difference in time. So what I want to do is I want to compare my top five men, my top five women, from 2022 to 2025. So let's start with the men, right? Let's start with the men. In 2022, we're going to go from 5 to 1. At number 5, I had Montez Ford. Number 4, I had Carmelo Hayes. Number 3, I had Karrion Kross. Number 2, I had Bron Breakker. And number 1, I had Roman Reigns, which I think is a pretty decent list. Now let's compare my top 5 men today. This is in terms of my favorites and what they're doing on TV right now. Number 5 is Tony D'Angelo. Number 4 is Gunther. Number 3 is Obafemi. Number 2 is Bron Breakker. And number 1 is Seth freaking Rollins. And somewhere at the very, very, very bottom of the list, at about 1,257th place, is shout out Kara, your favorite wrestler, Sami Zayn. shout out to you. Now let's talk about the women, because this one's a little bit interesting. In 2022, I had, again, from 5 to 1. In 2022, I had Liv Morgan at 5, Rhea Ripley at 4, JC Jane at 3, Bianca Belair at 2. Just to show you all that I've been on the Bianca train for 3 years. A lot of people have been saying, oh, you just hopped on. No, dog. I've been on this train. And number 1 was Mandy Rose, who I believe in 2022 was the best women's wrestler on the planet, from storytelling to matches and all of that. This was in September. Unfortunately, 3 months later, she would be cut from the company because she chose OnlyFans over pro wrestling. And it was her complete decision if she wanted to do that. And, well, we see where that's gone. That's another conversation for another day. And then my top 5 women now. Sol Ruka at 5. Rhea Ripley still at number 4. Stephanie Vaquer at 3. Io Sky at 2. Bianca Belair at numero uno. I just thought that was interesting. If y'all want to, again, leave in the comments, who's your top 5 men and women in pro wrestling in WWE, specifically today? Let's get to these questions from the Discord. B-Master asked a question about Patrick Clark in the video he posted saying he wants his job back or he's going to start blasting on wrestlers. I'm just going to be completely honest with you, B-Master. I don't give 2 fucks. I didn't watch the video, won't watch the video, don't care what Patrick Clark got to say. I'm not trying to say your question's not a good question. It is a good question. I think he's trying to get attention. He's an attention seeker. He's trying to get his name out there again, which is fine. It's what grifters do. And a lot of wrestlers and people in wrestling are grifters. And so I don't think he has a lot of information to expose people with. I think he's bluffing there. Excuse me, but I don't actually care about what Patrick Clark has to say. It's unfortunate if he's not guilty of what he was accused of. But at this point, like, it's to bring back Mandy Rose into the situation. Like, if Mandy Rose wanted a job back at WWE, I don't think WWE would offer it because she's done. Like, it's not worth it because the rest of the roster has went by her. That she's not marketable anymore. I think the same thing. Like, if you put Velveteen Dream back on the roster, I don't think it sells the way it did, 10 years ago, or 8 years ago. I don't know how long it's been since she's been in the company. It's been a minute though. Let's see. I think we got some more questions here from after I made my list here. Let me double check. Okay, here we go. Heel Queen Kara, the queen of the real wrestling community, states WWE and TKO are sending funding and TV packages to AAA. If you were WWE, who would you send to help them talent-wise for their shows? They can be guests one time only. Well, obviously, Rey Mysterio. is going to be the one of the guys. I think you send John Cena down for a one-off. I think he could do, bro. John Cena doing one final match against Alberto Del Rio would be fucking money. It's not going to happen, but it would be fucking money. But obviously, Rey Mysterio's got to go. Stephanie Vaquero's probably going. I could literally, the Lucha Bros will probably team up for Worlds Collide. I think they're going to send a lot of the Luchas to the show. But Rey Mysterio's got to be the main guy. I think Dominic Mysterio, surprisingly, I think Dominic Mysterio would be a really good option to send to Mexico to AAA for a one singular show just for him to go in there. And that'd be crazy. I think El Grande Americano would be while he's wrestling under the gimmick, I think that would be crazy heel heat for him. So there's a couple guys I think you could bring down. But Rey Mysterio is the first name that jumped to my mind. Kara asked another question that's sort of funny. Like, why am I your favorite? Look, as I said in the Discord, I don't play favorites. Everyone's equal. In the real wrestling community, all your opinions matter. I don't play favorites. But if I did, one of y'all would be my favorite. I'm not going to give that on tape. Come on now. Y'all crazy. B-Master, why does it seem like they're going backwards by pushing Rhea and having her win Money in the Bank instead of pushing new talent that just got caught up? You're asking the same question I asked on Friday, B-Master. And I kind of already addressed it in the episode again, but I just wanted to bring up your question. 100%, it does feel like they're going backwards by having her in the Money in the Bank. She doesn't need to be there. And also, what is up with the tag team division on both sides? It seems like they want to split up teams but are afraid to pull. Look, just like I said, we need to just merge and make one tag team division with one set of titles. I think that's going to end the questions that we have going on here. So with that saying, we are going to jump into our bracket battles to end the show like we always do. We are in the second round. And we are going to do the following matchups in the second round. All right. So matchup number one, we have Protection, which is the APA song, against Break the Walls Down, Chris Jericho. The next matchup we have is If You Dare by Taz. I like that theme. But it's going against Broken Dreams from Drew McIntyre. Next matchup we have Glorious Bobby Roode versus Judas Chris Jericho. Then we have final matchup of the week, Metalingus Edge Cope versus Cult of Personality. That's going to be an interesting matchup to see. You can vote on those in the Discord page. You will have until Friday. On Friday, we will end the polls, get the winners, and we will see who moves on to the next round. Until the next episode, though, that's where we're sort of going to end this show. Until next week. And by next week, I mean by Friday. Until the next episode, my name is We2Deep. Thank you for hanging out with me for a little bit as I discuss wrestling. Hope you guys enjoy your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Tell all your friends about us. Go get us some merch if you want to. We will thoroughly appreciate it. Until then, until Friday. See you on the next one. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.